KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we still have mostly cloudy skies and at 68 degrees. We look for any lingering scattered showers and thunderstorms to be dissipating and moving off to the east, southeast, and skies to become partly cloudy, a high of 86. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. In area news, aside from the elections, the Audubon School District Tuesday evening passed a resolution directing the sale of about $9.11 million in general obligation, school, and refunding bonds for the district's HVAC system and other facility improvements. The $9.11 million includes $7.5 million for the voter-approved bond referendum, plus $1.6 million in refunding 2013 series bonds. Superintendent Eric Traeger said when the district's financial advisor, Travis Squires from Piper Sandler, opened the bids and shared them with him, with the Traeger and board secretary Tuesday morning, Squires said the rates were historically low, which Traeger said made for a good day. The reason he was happy is because with five bidders, all were well below the estimated interest rate of 3.5% the district was expecting to pay. With a low bid from D.A. Davidson and Company of Denver, Colorado, coming in at 1.76%, which Squires said was virtually tied with the lowest bond rate they've seen in the state of Iowa.
This is going to be a number that, you know, almost feels shocking, I guess you would say. You know, we were looking at that $7.5 million referendum, and we had rates in at 3.5% and not 2. So you can figure that math out on your own, but you know, ultimately what that shows then is that total interest under that scenario would have been almost $3.8 million, and you're sitting at right at $2 million. It's about $1.8 million lower interest costs that the taxpayers won't have.
That means the anticipated 76-cent increase in the property tax asking will instead be reduced by about 35 cents. The district had originally said the $1.35 per $1,000 assessed valuation would be increased by 76 cents to $2.11 per thousand, but with the savings on the interest, the actual increase amounts to about 30 to 35 cents per thousand. In addition, the district saves about $30,000 by redeeming the outstanding general obligation refunding bond, Series 2013. Travis Squire said the last time bond rates were this low was in 2012 when they were at 2.12%. After adjustments were made, he said the actual interest rate was 1.74%. The purchase price of more than $9.3 million, Squire said the board's action to lock in the interest rates on Tuesday sets the stage for the next steps in the bond and facilities project.
At your next meeting, there will be a series of resolutions that finalize the transaction. The next steps that you have as a district is working with your construction manager to determine a cash flow, and then we can work with the district to determine if there are any investment options for the remaining bond proceeds that would like to be pursued.
In other business, the Audubon School Board Tuesday approved a recommendation from Mr. Traeger to replace a duplex property in Washington State on a real estate listing, since all efforts to sell the property privately have not met expectations.
And I'm tickled that we got the house in Washington. That was an amazing gift. I've been working with a gentleman for about 3 weeks now, who's a neighbor that wants to buy the property. He gave me an offer yesterday of $195,000 with us handling all of the closing costs, and I sent back a simple email stating, no, the attorney said that the seller is responsible for these closing costs and the buyer is responsible for these. I said, not interested in, you know, that makes the offer probably $5,000 less than that.
The duplex, which was bequeathed to the district in the will of an Audubon graduate, is valued at $205,000. A traffic stop at around 9:30 p.m. Tuesday in Red Oak resulted in two arrests. Red Oak police said the driver, 49-year-old David Anthony Doherty of Sydney, was arrested for driving while suspended with 11 withdrawals in effect. A passenger, 40-year-old Sean Michael Wilburn of Shenandoah, was arrested on a Page County warrant for violation of probation on a drug charge. Both men were taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held pending further court proceedings. The body of a Western Iowa man missing since May 7th was found Monday night in the Missouri River. Sheriff's officials in Nebraska say the body of 28-year-old Stephen Delane Sears of Council Bluffs was found caught in an area with fallen trees about a mile and a half south of the Rock Bluff elevator. Sears was the apparent victim of a boating accident that took place on the Missouri River near Honey Creek. An autopsy had been scheduled. Any charges in the case would be handled by Pottawatomie County. And while most eyes in Iowa during the primary election were on state races, there were also a handful of locally contested races in Cass and surrounding counties, with the winners advancing to the November general election. In Cass County, incumbent Republican District 4 Supervisor Steve Beyer of Griswold defeated fellow Republican challenger Travis Erickson from Cumberland, 236 to 89 votes. In the Republican race for Supervisor in District 5, Bernard Pettinger of Oneida handily defeated challenger Linda Reinecke of Messina, 182 to 92. Current District 5 Supervisor Frank Water is not running for re-election. In our funeral announcements, Benjamin Jessen, age 30, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital. A memorial service for Benjamin Jessen will be today at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dewey Hess, age 81, of Harlan, died Friday. Funeral services for Dewey Hess will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan, with Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of the arrangements. Gene Hackwell, age 80, of Oneida, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A memorial service for Gene Hackwell will be this Friday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Oneida. Hockenberry Family Care of Oneida has arrangements. Eugene Jensen, age 89, of Creston and formerly of Fontenelle, died Monday at his home. A celebration of life graveside service with full military rites for Eugene Jensen will be on Saturday at 10:30 in the Fontenelle Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has the arrangements. Donald Lundegaard, age 92, of Avoca, died Tuesday at Avoca Specialty Care. Funeral services for Don Lundegaard will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Stephen Napolis, age 75, formerly of the Stewart area, died Saturday. A military graveside service for Stephen Michael Napolis will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the South Oak Grove Cemetery in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Joyce Christensen, age 84, of Harlan, died Monday. Funeral services for Joyce Christensen will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Grace Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. James Langston, age 73, of Stewart, died May 27th. Memorial services for James Langston will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. Actually, that's on June 11th at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. And Brandon Harry, age 30, of Cumberland, died Thursday. A private family celebration of life memorial service for Brandon Harry will take place with Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic assisting the family. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.